Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live right here, the two of us.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
We want to take a moment and thank every family, really, that has served. Dads, moms, you know, sons, daughters served in our United States forces, and particularly the ones, obviously, that are memorialized now that gave their lives.
Yeah, Memorial Day is where we remember those who fallen.
That's right.
Veterans Day is where we recognize everybody
All
who served.
That's right.
And Memorial Day is much more than a day at the beach or the lake or a pool. It's much more than, you know, cooking out in the yard or, you know.
It's the ability.
3-day work week. It's more than that.
That's right.
It's more than that. Because we honor those who've given their lives in defense
right.
of this country. Not only them and their immediate family, but their sacrifice affected all of their family and a lot of their friends and children growing up. And it's just... You know, it's really a time. I'm not saying don't have fun tomorrow. I'm not saying that at all. But somewhere during the day, stop and pray for the families and friends of those who have loved ones that have given their lives.
That's right.
You know, for the freedom.
It's the reason we can cook out tomorrow.
That's exactly
right. And then the truth of the matter is, it's really, you talked about affecting people. It's affected the entire world, even the countries that don't thank us for it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, a lot of them. It was because of U.S. servicemen that went abroad and fought on their behalf that they walk in freedom today. But the least, the very, very least we can do is to pray for this country every day.
And some of those countries really don't remember it anymore.
That's right.
6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we were in Paris. I stopped and asked a bus driver for direction. He said, "Speak French." I said, "Well, if it wasn't for Americans, you'd be speaking German." And and turn around and walk away. But the point is, there are, as you said, honey, there are a number of nations that owe their freedom.
That's right.
To those who died, you know, protecting it.
From our country.
From our country. Interesting statistics. In the Revolutionary War, 4,435 people died. Soldiers. Military deaths. War of 1812, 2,260. Indian Wars, 1,000. Mexican War, 13,283. The Civil War, 498,332.
To bring that in perspective, the Battle of
Antietam.
Bull Run?
Is that Antietam. Antietam?
The Battle of Antietam was a three-day battle. And
actually, it was Gettysburg.
I was thinking it was Gettysburg. Yeah.
It was Gettysburg.
In Gettysburg, there was one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. And the amount of men that died in those 3 days equals every man that died during the Vietnam War. If that tells you how bloody and what a sacrifice it was for the Civil War. And I could really preach a sermon on the Civil War, but anyway.
Spanish-American War, 2,446. World War I, 116,000. 516. World War II, 405,399. Korean War, 54,266. Vietnam War, 90,220. Persian Gulf, 1,565. And Global War on Terrorism, 6,852. You add that together. Total number of Americans killed in all wars, 1.1 million.
And every one of them are important.
Everyone.
I can't get into too much of that. But anyway, we want to, you know, honor those and, you know, memorialize those who have died and allow us to come online and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be praying about that too. Anyway, we're talking about turnaround tonight.
We are.
Turning
things around.
That's it. And we all need
Starting today. Before I do that, I want to share a story with you. It's not really relevant to...
Well, it's always relevant.
It's always relevant.
Because it's talking about who we need to be.
Jackie Robinson, the first African-American to play professional baseball in the major leagues. One of the first games he was in, he made an error. And all the fans just started booing him. Really kind of...
Mean-spirited,
over the top. And the shortstop for that team was a man named Pee Wee Reese. And Pee Wee Reese, who was white, walked over to Jackie Robinson, where he was on the field, and put his arm around him and just stood there. And he stood there. They were trying to get the game started, but they didn't move. Reese would not let him move. Just stood there with his arm around Jackie Robinson. And finally, all the booing died down. It stopped. Jackie Robinson later said, that had Pee Wee Reese done that, he said, it probably would have meant the end of my baseball career. And he said, truthfully, it probably meant the end of my life. The analogy is that when we make a mistake or when we do something, and it's like everybody's against us, everybody's booing us, everybody's are condemning, you feel condemned. The Holy Spirit comes up beside you and embraces you and gets you through whatever you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's, if you need a turnaround in your life, that turnaround is going to happen through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Just put us in. And see, the Holy Spirit, just, we'll have to do a teaching on that. But anyhow, that was on my heart.
We had a study on the Holy Spirit this morning in church, so that was really good. Turnaround specialists.
Or define at turnaround.org. There's actually a website.
How about
turnaround.org.
That?
Turnaround.org. Turnaround specialists are defined as someone who enters a company with a fresh eye and complete objectivity. This professional can spot problems that may not be visible to company insiders and then implement solutions. Turnaround managers have no political agenda or all obligations to bias the decision-making process, allowing them to take sometimes unpopular yet necessary steps required for a company's survival.
You used to be a consultant for churches and walk in unannounced and they didn't know them to see what was going on in the church. But anyway, but the research shows.
And I was that.
Yeah.
I really was.
Did some turnaround.
Our research shows that sometimes these specialists are paid an exorbitant amount of money. But we have great news. And the great news
Hallelujah. Is
that each of us, everybody watching around the world, everybody here,
we all
have a turnaround specialist. One that's available to us 24/7, and he's absolutely free. The one drawback, we have to be open to his suggestions if we're serious about getting better.
Yeah.
Here are 7 turnarounds our specialist wants to happen in our lives. Starting today. First, sin into salvation. Turn from sin into salvation.
John 3:16. This is in the Classic Amplified Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whosoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish or come to destruction or be lost, but have everlasting life.
Hallelujah. God can turn the darkest sinner.
Thank you, Lord.
Into the sweetest saint in all the world.
Hmm.
And hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Your turnaround specialist will give you a spiritual do-over, makeover, with a new approach to life. This turnaround specialist places within you the ability to change.
That's right.
power of the Holy Spirit.
That's who it is.
And it's described really effectively in Romans 6 through 12.
In the Message Bible. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer it sins every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end, of death as the end. Never again will death have that last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah. The freedom of God.
Amen. It's a process, but
Acts 16, 30 and 31. In the New Living Translation.
Go ahead.
Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, along with everyone in your household."
I can remember claiming that a long time ago.
Everyone, your turnaround specialist will not only save your life, but that of everybody in your family.
Connected with you. Amen. And amen.
Second, sorrow into joy. Sorrow into joy. We have some pretty long scriptures on a couple of these tonight, but it's important what they say that you get the entirety of the thought process.
If we're going to have a complete turnaround, huh?
That's it.
Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. This is in the Classic Amplified. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland, or a diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy burdened and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified."
God will turn things around for the meek, the poor, the afflicted, spiritual captives, those who are bound, and those who mourn. And he will use, as the scripture says, the oil of joy instead of mourning. We recently had a friend of ours tell us that the oil of joy is God's anti-aging cream. And that's a powerful statement.
And all the women loved that and said amen. But
He'll use praise to turn around the heavy, the burden, and the failing spirit. He'll do it. Here are two other scriptures we feel led to share with you. First one, Psalm 30, verse 11. Psalm 30, 11, in God's Word translation. "You have changed my sobbing into dancing. You've removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy."
And Jeremiah 31, 13. "I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow."
Third, addiction into redemption. Addiction into redemption. We're going to share with you seven verses which use some problems that reviews problems that some have had in the past with solutions offered by our turnaround specialist.
Hmm.
Number one.
Straight from the Word of God.
Straight from the Word of God. Number one, deny the flesh. Romans 13:14, mm-hmm. the Amplified Bible Classic. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lust.
I got to say something about this, about clothing yourself with Christ so that He is the one that people see when they see you. And that obviously is a, you know, on and on and on. But think of it this way. I was sitting, actually, this came to me in church this morning. I think I might even do a Rich Thoughts on this one. And I was looking at this young, I was looking at the pastor, but this young man had a pair of Nike tennies on. Big Nike, you know, symbol. And the pastor was talking about, you know, so being so filled with the Holy Spirit, so full of the Lord, that Jesus is the one, the reason that we're noticed. I mean, he said that's the reason we have the Holy Spirit, is to bring Jesus into the world and talk Jesus, be of a spokesman for Jesus. And I thought, how many of us wear the spokesman of the clothes that we wear, like the Nike tennis shoes, symbols on shirts, of the sayings they have on the back, and all of the things that you see going down the street? Do we speak as loudly for Jesus as people are speaking for all of these clothing manufacturers, which you're spending way too much money for, to buy their shirt, you know, to wear instead of just a plain nothing on your shirt? And I got to it just came to me as I was listening to him. And that is what we should all be striving for, so that we represent the Lord instead of, as well as everybody else seems to represent the world. Now, number two.
You go.
I had to preach on number one. Give no place to negative or sinful thoughts. 1 Corinthians 6:18 in the Amplified Bible. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought and word and deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Wow. There's a whole lot that could be said about that.
About all of these, really.
Yeah, there really is. Number three, don't lose control. Proverbs 20:1, God's Word Translation. Wine makes people mock, liquor makes them noisy, and everyone under the influence is unwise.
Mm.
See, what happens is you lose control. And truthfully, you could add anger to this. Because when you get angry, you lose control. And the real problem is who gets the control when you give it up. The enemy gets it. And the enemy is the one who, you know, wants you to lose control. And we have to purpose in our heart. And if you have a problem with anger, you know, just learn to walk away, learn to count, learn to stop right there, learn to keep your mouth shut, actually.
And it's a learning process.
And it's a learning process.
I love number four. God is our deliverer. Matthew 6:13 in the Classic Amplified. And lead, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Number five, our goal, freedom from sin. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Mm-mm.
Free from what's had you bound.
Yeah. Number six, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Classic Amplified Bible says it this way. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. You know how your eyes are opened? When the Holy Spirit enters in. And that's when you begin the journey.
Well, that one kind of leads to number seven.
Right.
Because, you know, the whole fresh and new has come. But sometimes we kind of, the enemy tricks us into reverting to the old.
That's it.
So what we need to do is number 7, take the welcome mat up.
That's right.
James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Woo.
Read the Message, man.
The Message Bible translation in James 4, 7 through 10 says, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master.
That's it. Say it
again.
It's
the only way. It says,
get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll ever get on your feet.
That's good. I try to do it at least
once
a day.
If we get a hold of that, it's worth you tuning in or being here tonight. That one sentence, get down on your knees before the Master. It is the only way you'll get on your feet.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, back to the 7 turnarounds.
Number four.
Fourth. Heartache and the heartwarming. Heartache and the heartwarming. Some heartaches and disappointments, they're going to happen. Others are caused by choices we make or don't make. But God turns things around for everyone who trusts Him.
Psalm 32:10 in God's Word translation, many heartaches await wicked people, but mercy surrounds those who trust the Lord.
Our turnaround specialist has given us the ability to solve every problem, every heartache, to turn it around. Psalm 147:3, in the Amplified Bible Classic. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up the wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. No problem is too big for our turnaround specialist.
Mm. Luke 4:18 in the Classic Amplified says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity.
God brings comfort in the midst of adversity. Whatever storm you're going through, he can speak to the winds and the waves and say, peace, be still.
Hmm. Psalm 34:18 in the Message Bible says, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath.
And that happens sometimes.
It does.
You cannot expect that not to happen in life because it does. That's, again, like that example earlier. When Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese, where the Holy Spirit just comes up and, you know, comforts you, stands with you, protects you, encourages you, strengthens you.
That's right.
Gives you peace. Well,
sets
if you're ready
example.
To have a smile on your face, I want to tell you, this next verse will make you smile.
Psalm 43:5.
You know how I know that?
How?
Because it says so.
There you go. Psalm 43:5, you know it's from the Message Bible. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? My eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God.
Hallelujah. He puts a smile on my face. Glory to God. I like that.
Amen. And amen.
Fifth, loneliness into companionship.
Mm.
Unfortunately, people experience loneliness for a variety of reasons. Rejection, isolation, intimidation,
neglect,
trauma, regardless of the cause.
Right.
You got to know this. God's desire is not for us to be lonely.
That's
never
right.
Has been, never will be.
Because it started in Genesis 2:18.
Yep, that's a good place.
Says the Amplified Bible says it this way. Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable, adapted, complementary for him.
There may not be a single person within miles of your current location, but you will never be alone. There may be nobody around you, but you'll never
be alone.
Never be alone.
Matthew 28:20 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be.
Hallelujah. John 14:16.
This is the reason we're...
Classic Amplified. And this is to the point. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 7 of those.
And probably a whole lot more
if
we were to get into it. But there are 7 ways to deal with loneliness.
First, understand the problem.
Second, accept what cannot be changed, death or of a spouse or moving away from a friend or change of personnel in your workplace.
Third, change what can be changed. Change what can be changed. Reach out beyond your own needs to help somebody else.
That does help. Fourth, create new habits. A new routine or approach to life includes a freshness to what's going on and helps us turn things around. That's what we're talking about.
It is. Fifth, make an effort to meet new friends. One person each Sunday. Find people with common interest. But go slowly. Don't smother the person. You know, because you may chase them away. Don't do that.
Six.
And six, there's a caveat to it, but you'll get to that.
If you can get a pet, if it's realistic, and I say that, because we realize that not everybody can have one, especially if you're having trouble with ends meeting or you don't have the ability or facility, you know, to welcome one into your home. But they do make great companions, and the statistics show that you live longer when you're by yourself and you have a pet.
Seventh, spend more time with your best friend, and I'm not talking about the person you've known all your life. Or the one you go shopping with. I'm talking about the friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. Who's always there for you.
One of our favorite scriptures.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 33:3. Mama calls it. Mama Hearing calls it. God's phone number. Call to me and I will answer you. Hallelujah.
Six. Sickness into health. To facilitate. This turnaround in your life, if you're dealing with sickness, we encourage you to go to haroldhearing.com. There's a little button that says personalized scriptures. Double click it. And there's 7 scriptures, healing scriptures, that you can personalize and read them over and over. And I share these with people at least 2 or 3, sometimes 4 times a week. And I get reports back how they've comforted the people that they've gotten the scriptures for. Or themselves.
Well, you're releasing the word. When you speak the word, no matter how many times you've said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. You know, and we need to do that because it's an ongoing, continual process. And it says the word is alive. So we have to take that word and be releasing it out into the atmosphere over and over and over before we can expect change. You know, when I love the, there's actually a Charles Capps book, little teeny tiny thing that about healing. And it says, when what you are saying and believing becomes stronger in you than those symptoms, you've got your healing. So that's what we're doing, is we're continually bringing the Word of God in effect into our lives. Matthew 8:16-17 says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took
Fred's infirmities.
There you go. And bore?
Fred's sicknesses.
There you go.
Personalize it.
Personalize it. Make it your own.
Before sharing the other three verses, we want to focus on verse 17, which says, healed all who were sick.
That's right.
All.
All.
All means is the key word in that thought. God's best is to heal all who are sick.
If there's a question on whether God wants somebody healed, you just need to read that scripture. He wanted all healed. Okay. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Personalize this one. So Al shall serve the Lord his God, and he will bless Al's bread and his water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of Al. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of Al's days.
I want to tell you, I think it goes without saying that having all your sickness taken away is preferable to being healed.
That's right. Because
it's gone. It'd be much better to never have to think about sickness.
Amen. Or disease. Psalm 107:20. Woo! Personalized. He sent his word and healed Randy and Laurel, the Rand and Laurel, and delivered them from their destruction.
Let me do 1 Peter 2:24.
Go for it.
1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that Yvette, being dead to sins, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes Yvette is healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
And personalize that. Any of these you could. He sent his word and healed Dave and Diane and delivered them from their destruction. Personalize it for you.
And make it real to you when you're looking in there. I think I heard this done once, and actually it really touched me. And especially when, I mean, I wasn't raised a Christian, so it's like I had a lot of unlearning. But it said, look in the mirror and say, Jesus loves, and say your name. Because a lot of people, they are told Jesus loves them, you know. They want to believe Jesus loves them. But to say, you know, Jesus, you could say Jesus loves me. But when you say your name, I mean, it brings tears to your eyes sometimes when you're really trying to get the idea that Jesus can love you. He can love you. He can help you. He can, you know. Because a lot of people weren't raised in love. A lot of people. Yeah. And it took them a long time to just get up to normal. So anyway, so take it and say your name.
Seventh, poverty into prosperity.
Yeah, amen.
Poverty into prosperity. Poverty is the devil's anointing.
It's what he wants for you.
It is. And it happens inside you before it ever happens around you. Poverty will not keep you out of heaven, but it may keep somebody else out.
When you can't give to the gospel and it's only you four and no more, right?
That's it. There's something worse than poverty. It's the reason behind poverty.
Yes.
It's called poor thinking.
That's right.
Poor thinking. A poverty mentality will hold a person hostage to the belief that there's no other choice, no way out. And that is a totally unscriptural philosophy.
And it's a dream killer.
It is a dream killer.
It will not allow people to dream because they don't think their dreams can come true.
And let me just say this. You might be so broke right now that you can't pay attention. But it's not going to stay that way.
That's right.
Not going to stay that way. Because you need to stop looking at where you are. Confess the Word of God as to where you're going. And just keep your focus there. And not be moved by circumstances. And sometimes that's very difficult.
That's
I'm not
right.
telling you it's not. I understand and I know that. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt to prove it. Luke 1:37
in the Classic Amplified Bible. And I would say everybody who ever hears this needs to take this scripture and put your name in it. And make this, you know, what you confess every morning. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Because the enemy will tell you over and over that what you want is not possible.
For with God, nothing's ever impossible, to Clay and Felicia.
That's right.
And no word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment.
Amen.
For with God, nothing's ever impossible to joy. And no
Amen.
Word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. I mean, just personalize it for yourself.
Amen.
See, being poor is a choice. Secretary Ben Carson got in some trouble this week because of what a statement he made. But it is a choice. The principles of God work anywhere in the world, but especially in the United States, where we have so many freedoms and opportunities.
That's right.
To be poor in this country, you can blame everybody you want. But in this country, there are so many doors that can be opened for you to get a way out.
Amen.
That you don't have to leave there. And even in, third world countries, there's a way out. But it'll take effort. It'll take determination, to get out. But if you get the Word of God deep inside of you and you confess that Word, then it'll turn things around for you.
It will. I mean, I'm thinking of the pastor that we heard speak when we were at a conference for ministers several years ago in January. He came over from Africa. He built a church debt-free in the middle of nowhere. And I mean nowhere. Debt-free. And I mean a big church, too. It wasn't just a little tiny thing. And people would come from all over to attend this church. It's amazing. But it works when you work the Word, because nothing's impossible with God. Job 36:15. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. And Deuteronomy 15:4-5 in the Classic Amplified. And there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess. If only, you listen to that? If only you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God to do watchfully all these commandments which I command you this day. God gives us ability.
There are 7 keys found in those last 2 verses. First, there will be no poor among you.
Not just some, but no.
No poor among you. Second, the Lord will bless you. Third, God is giving us an inheritance to possess. Fourth, and you emphasize these 2 words, but they're the key. If only, which leads to 5, you listen to his voice. 6, do all his commandments.
Amen.
7, which he will give you this day. Can somebody say?
Hallelujah. There's hope. Where there's life, there's hope. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
I like 35:27 personalized. Let Robert shout for joy.
Amen.
And be glad. He favors my righteous cause. Yea, let him say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of Robert, his servant.
Hallelujah.
Clearly, God wants our bills paid, our needs met, and our family blessed.
Psalm 84:11 in the Classic Amplified. For the Lord God, I do too. It's good. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from, shall we personalize this? Larry and Gina, who walk uprightly.
Stephen, Diane, and Farley. He will not withhold any good thing from them. He will not.
God's Word translation on that last part says, He does not hold back any blessing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:11-12. And the Lord shall make you have, I love that. Make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground, and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. He has given us inheritance. We are Abraham's children and heirs of blessing.
The Lord will make you have
make you have
a surplus of prosperity. not the government.
That's right.
Not a rich relative.
That's right.
The Lord will make you have a surplus of prosperity. That scripture doesn't say that he'll make you have a surplus of poverty.
That's right.
No, it says he will give you a surplus of prosperity. This verse even shows ways in which God can get money to us. Why is he blessing us so? It's simple. He promised our forefathers.
That's right.
Verse 12.
Listen to this. The Lord shall open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow.
Hallelujah. No question, God wants to turn our lack and poverty into prosperity.
Amen.
However, we need to point out that each of us play a significant role in the effectiveness of our turnaround specialist in this area.
Mm-mm.
We do.
Mark 1:15 in the Classic Amplified Bible, and saying, the appointed period of time is fulfilled, completed, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, have a change of mind, which issues in regret for past sins and in change of conduct for the better, and believe, trust in, rely in, and adhere to the good news, the gospel.
Hallelujah. Mark 1:15.
In the Message Bible,
he
says,
said, the time has come and the kingdom of God is near. Change the way you think and act and believe the good news. Change the way you think and act, believe the good news. Change the way you think and act. If you're not getting where you want to be, then maybe you need to change the way you think and act to get to where you want to be.
Proverbs 3:5-6 in the New International Version. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Your paths straight. Make them straight.
Have a revelation for you. Look at your watch. Write down what time it is. And then you can know that at this very minute, it's time for your turnaround to begin.
Well, I like that.
But you're the one
I'm ready.
Who decides whether or not it's going to happen. You're the one.
And applying it, and applying it, and applying the word. Trusting and not leaning into your own understanding. Because you can't do it yourself.
Like the old hymn says, trust and obey.
There's no other way.
Hallelujah.
Acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths.
Several things. Stay with us, if you would. Those of you watching, streaming, live streaming around the world. First off, for the first time in 14, 15 weeks, my mom and dad are with us tonight.
I know, praise the Lord.
And they surprised me coming in.
On Valentine's Day,
mom fell and broke her hip in three places, had surgery, 5 weeks in a rehab facility, been at home taking physical therapy, and just like a champ. A champion of the Lord.
Amen.
She's come through this and came walking in here tonight and, just really blessed us.
Amen.
It really did. Really did. Second, make sure that you watch your mailbox because we sent a letter this week that is profound. It's one of the most profound revelations the Lord ever gave me. And he directed me to send that letter out. So make sure you read it and just do whatever the Lord tells you to do. That's the bottom line. And third, there's two more. Have a great time on Memorial Day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you will be watching this weeks from now. But in retrospect, I hope you had a great Memorial Day and you remembered why we celebrate that day. And fourth, every day, hallelujah, begin your morning, jumpstart your week, jumpstart your day by dialing in to Rich Salts for breakfast. It'll just float
your boat.
It does
a lot for me.
Right your ship, give you the encouragement you need, and make the devil mad.
Yeah.
And God glad. that you took the time to call in to Rich's House for Breakfast. And if you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, move to the top where it says sow a seed, and just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all I ask. We ask. Oh, that's all we'll ever ask.
That's right.
There's a lot of scripture in this tonight. Six
there
pages
is.
Of it. Make sure you go back and look over that scripture.
I need to myself. But until tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.